You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issue. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Sir Richard Branson. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin, slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful businesses and some of the guests we have in our classes at McGill University. Today, I'm delighted to be in Toronto speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean at the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Susan has published in top finance journals and cited in many renowned publications, including the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and Bloomberg News Services. Susan, thank you for joining us today. Tell us about your early years, Susan. Where are you from? What was your family up to?
Well, it's great. Thank you so much, Carl, for having me here today. It's a real pleasure. I am a born and raised Canadian, and I actually want to say I'm a coast-to-coast girl. So I was born in Newfoundland and raised in Kamloops, BC, in British Columbia. So, the daughter of a gold miner, so spent summers, out mining, prospecting, and also the daughter of a leadership trainer. So I think that was quite the combination as somebody growing up, born and raised in Canada, different parts.
How old were you when you left Newfoundland?
Oh, I was just a young baby.
So you don't remember it
quickly. I don't remember anything, but really, interesting, in terms of certainly there was people from there that would visit us out in BC, very different culture.
So Kamloops, small town, BC, mining world, how did you get the vision to go do a PhD in the States? And how did you get that vision at a relatively young age to go do big world-class things?
I don't think I had that vision growing up. Honestly, I think, like maybe some kids, I wanted to be an actress or, a singer or something, but realized you actually had to have talent to do that. And then, when I graduated high school, I actually left and wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to do diplomatic, relations. And I started off as a French major, figuring out as a diplomat I needed to be able to speak French. And I was a really good French speaker when I was coming out of Kamloops, but discovered very quickly, I did my undergraduate degree at Queen's, that when I got there was many other people that could speak French a lot better than I could. I did not start out thinking I would be in business. And that's probably a good lesson for people, that you just never know what way your journey's. I knew that I wanted to contribute to the world, and I wanted to have a positive impact on the world. What that was, I just discovered that I was much better suited for maths and economics, and that's what I started, my undergraduate degree in.
So what did you do after Queen's?
Well, I, like many other students, I spent a year in Europe.
Okay.
I was an exchange student in Belgium and did a lot of learning there. I think, that was actually where I learned more French than I did when I started out as an undergraduate at Queen's. I was, I toured, I went to different cities. I think this was where I did a lot of exploring, really, enjoyed my time there, saw many different parts of the world during that year, sort of exploring. And then after that, returned to Canada, to UBC, did my master's there, and then spent a couple of years with the federal government in the Ministry of Finance, and decided that I wanted to go back to do my PhD down at Wharton in Philadelphia.
So were you in Ottawa for that?
I was for 2 years. So worked with the Ministry of Finance in their International and Economic Advisors Group.
Today, we're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean of the Rotman School of Management. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. So why did you decide to leave? I mean, you had a good career, you're doing well. Why pull up the stakes and do a PhD? What brought that on?
That's a great question. I think, honestly, there was a little bit inside of me that could see potential with working with the government. There was some interesting stuff right during that time, and it's probably interesting, you know, given the state of the world now, Russia was actually just becoming, integrating into the world economy in the 1990s. And I was actually looking at the macro models and, you know, what does this new nation coming into the economy mean? And so there was some interesting stuff that, and many of my friends ended up working with the IMF and the World Bank coming out of my, out of that group. So it was interesting work, but I just didn't see myself in that 20 years down the road. And I loved school and I loved teaching, quite honestly. And so I think it was just something, there was something inside, and actually it was a girlfriend in Belgium that I met, when I was there that really, who was in Philadelphia that sort of encouraged me to sort of apply to a business school down there.
I mean, it's interesting because I've been giving a talk to my students. I gave one at the Harvard Undergraduate Economics Association, sadly by Zoom, but I would argue that you get three things from a degree. One is a brand. Secondly is a network. Third, you and I teach them something, but in 10 years we'll change our minds. Not because we're lying, but the world goes on. When I graduated, I mean, it's a long time ago, I'm not in touch with anybody from USC because you had to write to the parents and said, you wouldn't say, is Susan still alive? But you go, Susan was a friend of mine at school. Where is she? Because the parents would probably still live there. Where today on LinkedIn, it's trivial to keep in touch. I mean, are you in touch with friends from Queens or UBC or Wharton?
Oh, absolutely. I think, so maybe less so with UBC. I think that was, a one-year master's degree. So you don't have the same type of ability. I have a few friends that I've kept in touch with. But certainly in my undergraduate, I think one of the things... Certainly, in each of the places where I sort of had different stops during my life, I've developed strong relationships with girlfriends during those times, and they've been huge support systems. Like every stop has sort of had people who have been just instrumental in shaping, being long-term friends with me in each place.
But a few of them would invite you to their wedding if they got married, if they have kids, they would let you know they just had a child.
Yeah.
Sharing the joys of life and maybe the sorrows as well along the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's, it's interesting as you get older, that network, those friends that you've known for 30 years, there's something to that.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the amazing thing for me, too, all those friends that I graduated with from my PhD at Wharton, they are my network, my go-to, my academics that I will touch base with on a regular basis. They become your people that you talk to, ask, if you're trying to talk about students or getting information, they are your go-to network. And, I really, certainly in my role now as a dean, I realize the value of that, right? And that network of people that you want to go to, for sure.
Today, we're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean of the Rotman School of Management. I'm Coral Moore, and you're listening to the CEO series. Well, we'll talk about being dean in a couple minutes and why you chose that path. Clearly, you're a leader today, Susan. When did you see yourself as a leader? Was it back in BC and Kamloops in high school that you were the captain of this or that? When did you see yourself as a leader?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was on a basketball team and volleyball team, and I was, captains of those various different things. I was very academically driven. I wasn't on the student, president or anything like that. I think where I saw the benefits of taking a leadership. I was always someone that when I felt there was a need for someone to step in, I would step in. I think the first kind of leadership role that I took on was actually I organized a Terry Fox run.
Mm.
And that was where, it was just volunteers. I actually think some of the most difficult leadership roles are those in academic institutions and volunteer organizations, because these are where, people you have to persuade them as opposed to actually, incentivize them in different ways.
Or order them in some sense.
Yeah. But I think the thing that, you know, for me, where I could sort of see that, you know, and of course, after that, I was able to do, you know, more significant leadership roles in, you know, in universities, or taking part in with volunteer organizations. But the with the Terry Fox run, just seeing when the day happened and seeing people there and fundraising and seeing the outcome, I think that's where I really, you know, I sort of said, taking a leadership role, there are huge gains, although there's a lot of headaches along the way.
Most people, when they think of business school, would be an undergraduate, an MBA, maybe a PhD. There's a bunch of programs here at Rotman, you know, as there is at Desotel. What's the range of programs you're now offering, quite more complex or more a set of offerings than 10 or 15 years ago?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this was really my... my role as a vice dean was really diversifying the students and sort of, you know, and thinking of Rotman as a place you can come here for a whole wide range, you know, so that you continue to learn, and we have a whole wide range of different programs for you. So the types of programs that were introduced was we have the Masters of Financial Risk Management and Masters of Management Analytics, these more specialized programs, which complement our undergraduate and our MBA programs.
What have been your main research interests? And are you working on anything now, or is that just to the side because you're involved in leadership and administration?
Well, it's certainly taking a little bit of a back seat right now.
Yeah.
But I actually had a paper that's just coming out now in the Review of Finance, which has been a long time coming. But my main area of research is in the area of mutual funds and hedge funds. And also, I mean, just capital markets and how these large asset managers interact with capital markets.
We're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean of the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Next up, we'll talk about the trajectory of Susan's career. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today, I'm in Toronto sitting down with Susan Christofferson, Dean at the Rotman School of Management. I mean, you were a Wharton, Copenhagen for a while, McGill for a number of years, now Rotman in Toronto. Blue Sky, how is a business going to be different in 5 or 10 years from now? You know, we've touched about in terms of Canada and Indigenous issues is going to be much more aware of that. We're going to have greater diversity in terms of thinking about gender and other forms of diversity. Where else do you think we may go in the next 5 or 10 years as business schools in Canada and around the world?
I think the thing for me that's the most striking is, you know, if you look at the surveys that were done on the trust levels between governments and business and NGOs, this is the first time that businesses actually have the highest levels of trust by individuals. So I think this is a moment for business schools, right, that we really need to think that we are shaping the individuals. And part of that is, I think we are facing, you know, huge challenges as a society, and we need businesses to help address those. And I don't think that the societal impact of business has really been emphasized as much as it is now. And I think that's really shifting the dialogue for business schools, you know, in thinking about, you know, sort of the many, you know, different, you know, individuals that are impacted by the activities of businesses. And so that's a big responsibility. It's also exciting because I do think that business is going to have a huge, you know, a huge role to play, you know, going forward in sort of, and also innovation. So as a business school, shaping those future leaders, I think, is going to be absolutely critical.
A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of having Roger Martin, who is the dean a couple times ago before you, and then there was Tiff, who's now the head of the Bank of Canada. There's a famous saying, horses for courses, that you need the person is going to be different today, that Roger did certain things on Tiff than you. What did Roger in his better moments, Tiff in his better moments, do, and where do you have to take Rotman?
I mean, honestly, I sort of shake my head every day.
Yeah.
I really am stepping into some very big shoes with both of them. I mean, Roger, incredible visionary. He took the school and really put it on the map. And I still find every time it's like, Roger, and just was an incredible spokesperson, thought leader, still is out there. And really, helped grow the school, brought in incredible thought leaders and the faculty that are here. And I think, but with that growth, you grow quickly like that, you bring in things, there's lots of things that there's foundations that we need to sort of maybe rebuild and sort of rethink about the school. And I think this is where TIFF came in. Roger was really about building our MBA program in collaboration with Peter Pauly. But the MBA market has weakened somewhat. So I think that sort of weakened the foundation to some degree from a financial standpoint. So I think TIFF really came in and helped sort of bring together the school. He had this one Rotman vision for the school, helped stabilize, helped diversify. This was part of me and my vice dean role, diversify the students. Mm-hmm. Which I think helped financially with the school, sort of stabilize it, had the one Rotman vision, really sort of this tying of business and society. And I think both of them have sort of helped me, given me an incredible platform on which to build, right? So I really sort of feel I'm on the shoulder of
giants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today we're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean of the Rotman School of Management. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. For many deans, fundraising is job number one or two. What have you learned about fundraising? How do you get people with money to give in, corporations to give you money? How do you approach them effectively?
It's not a natural thing for me. But I think, people who are philanthropic, who want to give back to society, they want to see that their monies are going to have an impact. What is this doing? A lot of them want to, have an impact for students. They're concerned about the costs of education. They want to see I really sort of see Rotman as a jewel within Canada, and they want to sort of see that and build on it. And so I think if they can see a vision, or I think that's what's going to be probably more compelling for them.
Yep.
Than coming in sort of saying, I as a leader, I have to create that. I have to have people believe that this is, we're going to take the school to the next level. And emphasizing that I'm standing on the shoulders of giants here. I have to say this is very, a bit different, but I feel even more pressure as I'm the first woman to be in this role, probably more pressure to actually make sure that I don't just do a good job, but I really do an amazing job here. At the school.
You have some superstars. But Miguel, we have Henry Mintzberg. How do you manage superstars? Do you have to stroke their egos on occasion? how do you deal with a superstar that are better known than you and you can't tick them off, you don't want to, but how do you deal with a superstar?
I think the wonderful thing about being here at Rotman is I think people are very much committed to the school and making the school better. And so I think trying to figure out a way, how do I leverage that energy for a common goal? One of the toughest leadership roles is one of academics. You're a bit of herding cats. Yeah. Everybody is very smart and bright, but sort of figuring out, I think actually it's been very helpful being an internal dean, somebody that's come up through the ranks, because you understand that actually, it's a very different mindset than coming from the corporate sector. People actually don't necessarily want my job.
Yeah.
They're happy that I'm in it.
Yeah.
But you have to sort of figure out, how do I leverage the talent that's in this building, knowing that I have very little power, to do that. So it's a matter of persuading, influencing, and but again, giving them a belief that this is a wonderful place to be, and that they, you know, believe in you as a leader.
Probably back when we were doing our PhD some years ago, it was really more kind of the Milton Friedman school. It's all about profits. And if you have profits, if you want to give some away, that's great, but it's up to you. So it's really been an evolution of the role of the corporation, genuinely, in our lifetime. What brought you to want to be dean?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it started really with the vice dean. Again, I didn't start when I, you know, in, you know, when I was growing up in Kamloops thinking, I'm going to become dean of the Rotman School one day. So it's an evolution. I think the vice dean role really gave me an opportunity to try things out. And actually, I have to say, you know, I was sort of oversaw or was an academic director, you know, for the MBA program at McGill, which again was another opportunity for me, you know, to experience a leadership role. And I think the thing that really, I think, convinced me was I stepped down from my vice dean role at Rotman in December 2020. I had a lot of success. I really enjoyed working with the leadership team here and under TIFF's leadership, introduced three new programs here. And I just think looking back when I stepped down and seeing the success and the ability to really make some transformation excited me about the possibility of being able to take on the dean role. And that I stepped down from my vice dean role in December 2020 and, you know, was appointed into this position in July 2021. So certainly that those 6 months gave me time to reflect. And I thought, you know, I think that this is a really exciting opportunity.
We're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean at the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Up next, we'll talk about the Women in Finance Center, what's going on there, and whether she's an introvert or extrovert. I'm Coral Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Coral Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. We're speaking today in Toronto with Susan Christofferson, Dean at the Rotman School of Management, the University of Toronto. Rotman's Institute for Gender and Economy recently received funding for a two-year project that seeks to structurally change the narrative around women in finance, which is a traditionally and still today a male-dominated field. Tell us more about that project.
Yeah, well, our gender in the economy, the Institute has been doing incredible things. And this is one of many different activities that they're engaged in. And I want to say it's actually not specifically for women in finance. The monies are certainly can help, but it's really to help change that conversation around gender in the economy. So one of the things that they're looking at is the care economy.
Okay.
Where women are represented, and also how do we, you know, come back to work and provide care within the economy to support women in the economy there. The other thing that they, you know, they are looking at, which I think is really pretty interesting, is they are looking at gender analytics. And so, you know, a lot of times products are designed, you know, thinking only about one gender instead of multiple different genders. Okay. So how do you do that? There's biases that are created through analytical algorithms and thinking about that. So they're looking at that, as well as they're looking, I think that the thing that's really interesting is they're also looking at sort of behavioral aspects and how do you influence that, and how do you change organizations to sort of include more of the give a gender lens to things. One of the things, it was really fascinating listening to some researchers on this. Often in companies, when they are trying to, you know, make, you know, changes in the gender composition, and we've not done a great job with this, but, you know, they sort of say, oh, we want to change the people. So you go through your unconscious bias training, and, you know, and it's not to say that this isn't valuable, but it's not moving the dial. What these researchers are saying is that look, it's not really about changing the people, it's about changing the system. So, you know, there's been research which has shown that just by changing the way in which we do job descriptions, okay, can change the types of people that are interested. And actually, it's not that it biases it towards one type of person versus another. It actually makes the jobs more inviting for everyone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you want to sort of take this from a very, you know, broad perspective, and sort of think about that, you know, gender, but also along the, you know, along the dimensions of race. And I'm sure that every organization, yeah, is struggling with, you know, in terms of, you know, how do we create more inclusive organizations? Because, and this is one thing that I've learned from this, you know, institute, and why it's so valuable for organizations is, you know, you cannot have diversity without inclusion or a sense of belonging. And, you know, so I think that is where, you know, organizations need to sort of figure out, well, how do we create that? And I think it's, you know, the struggles that we might have in creating diversity, they're tenfold in sort of thinking about how do we address the issues of the Indigenous populations and truth and reconciliation, because there's a lot of learning that, you know, we, you know, as individuals, organizations need to undergo.
You're listening to the CO Series, and today we're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean of the Rotman School of Management. So in Canada, it's almost our original sin, you know, and you saw it in BC, we see in Quebec, like it's one of the things that has been around for a couple centuries now, and we're thinking about. Any early thoughts in terms of what Rotman or the U of T could do? Like, are you trying to get more Indigenous students, or is it still early days?
Oh, I mean, we're really at ground zero. I mean, I, you know, only recently, as I came into the position, started and launched an Indigenous task force, really to help provide me with some guidance. And again, you know, we have to ask ourselves, why would an Indigenous student want to come here? And I think we have to work hard in sort of thinking about how do we create an inclusive environment. But that means changing a lot of the views. What, you know, and I'm learning a lot. I'm on my own journey because everything that I learned growing up did not include those views. And so I need to teach myself, and, you know, we as Canadians and, you know, as organizations need to learn those different views and worldviews so that we can incorporate them more inclusively.
I mean, growing up in Kamloops, there was Indigenous students in your class, and you may not have been aware of it. And it was something that, you know, there's probably residential schools there, but it wasn't something you highlighted in high school or elementary school. Like, it was somewhat overlooked back then, I suspect.
Yeah, I think for me, the finding of the unmarked graves at Kamloops Residential School was really, it was just a really striking moment for me because I grew up in that community and had no idea of the history, had very, you know, it was just something that was just unknown to me. We have, fortunately, a few alum in our executive MBA, and actually that alum, Sarah Wolf, has been really helping me sort of gain a better understanding. But I am in the very early stages of learning, which will sort of help, you know, our own path as a society and as a school sort of figure out how do we help it with the, you know, different calls to action with truth and reconciliation.
Like, my undergrads are idealistic. They're, you know, and if they're not at that age, then may never be. And they want ESG to really matter. I'm hearing it from CEOs. From your sense of, you know, mutual funds like that, are behaviors going away from just focusing on profits to multiple agendas?
Yes, absolutely. If you read the sort of newsletter that's coming out from Larry Fink, you know, with BlackRock, you know, there's definitely a shift. And the investors are, and, you know, these large investors, institutional investors, are shifting their conversation around this with corporations. And you can sort of see the shift in corporations in terms of, you know, leading with purpose. And that is also how, and you can see how investors are acting.
Yeah.
You're seeing more and more monies going into these kind of, into different social responsible investing, different types of investment options for them. I often say with my, right now I'm not able to teach, but with my students, I said, I actually think it'll be transformational if we really thought about, we're seeing more and more money going into these large asset managers, but if we saw the indices change, indices now are determined based on the liquidity, how much, the size, market cap of different companies. But if we added onto that another layer of looking at the ESG or the sustainability or the requirements of those companies, it would change the game in terms of shifting monies to socially responsible investing. So I really do think that they have a huge role to play in terms of the deployment of capital.
We're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean at the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. Up next, we'll talk more about Susan's life outside of work. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Susan Christofferson, Dean at the Rotman School of Management at the University of Toronto. So, are you more of an introvert or extrovert, Susan?
Well, that's an interesting. I would say that I am probably an extrovert. I did one of those,
Myers-Briggs, or Big Five,
yeah,
or whatever.
Something like that. But what was really interesting, and actually it was really helpful for me, I'm an extrovert. I love being with people. I love interacting and engaging, and I get a lot of energy from doing that. But I absolutely, and I think this is where this academic side of me, I absolutely need quiet time to be able to think and to analyze situations. And so if I'm just going back to back to back, I can feel myself getting stressed with that, sort of going from one event to another.
Sure. Oh yeah.
So I need, my introvert time.
So you would book it in your calendar that there's an hour break from Zoom meetings and calling on donors and things like that, and just think and reflect.
Yeah. So I can feel my stress going up if I don't have that reflection time to sort of think, or do deeper, like how are we going to organize things, or where there's stresses. And maybe that's common to a lot of people, but I think that also comes from the PhD, where you kind of need that deeper thinking time.
It strikes me as that a lot of academics are introverts, probably because they found joy in going to their office and doing spreadsheet analysis, or, looking at things where it's in their own mind for hours. So it's something where it tends to draw people, a fair number of introverts, because of the nature of the task. But on the other hand, you're in the classroom and you're giving a great lecture to hundreds of people or a speech to thousands. There's a joy to that as well.
Yeah.
What was the most exciting speech you ever gave? Like, do you remember one where there's 5,000 people in the room or something like that, or...
No, I mean, I can sort of think, certainly from research, it's actually an interesting transition from research to doing the type of stuff you do as a dean, because as a dean, you want to be much more inspirational. So it's actually shifted.
Yeah.
And I have to learn that. It's a different skill. So, some of the best things that I've done, obviously been research, where you really feel that you've connected with people, where they're taking away the two or three points. I don't know that I've totally nailed it, but there's certainly been where I've created, there's a couple of things, Rotman Council, where you really feel that you're connecting with people and where they're understanding where you're coming from, and that feels good. But, I think public speaking for me is something I'm learning to do. You want to, this idea of becoming an authentic leader, it's very hard to do that when you're reading from scripted notes. And I, need to have more, the confidence in myself to be able to go off script or to be able to speak in a real way with people so they can hear my voice. And that takes skill. I'm getting better at it, but still
working. It's the passion for Rotman and what you're doing and how you're helping young people, that they hear it in your voice. And it's, you know, they want to share that passion. They want you to be excited. They want to be excited. So it's not a cool intellectual exercise. It's an exercise of passion around young people, around the reputation of the university, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have the best job in the world, even when days when it's really, because this is an opportunity to have such an important impact, right, in shaping the minds of people who are going to have significant impact on our, you know, on our society.
Today, we're speaking with Susan Christofferson, Dean of the Rotman School of Management. I'm Carl Moore, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Is it much better to be in the class than on Zoom? Like, do you feel a kind of a strong emotional thing, or is it going, prefer in class, but Zoom, we worked on it. Like, we did all right. What's your sense of that emotionally?
I think we delivered the material that we needed to deliver, no problem. Or I shouldn't say no problem. There was, you know, certainly there were issues with it. But I think we've learned, and there's a lot of ways in which we can leverage that. And I think that the learning is there. But one thing that this is the pandemic has really sort of ingrained in me is actually the benefits of the in-person. And we saw this in terms of, you know, the mental health of students, that they come to universities wanting that connection and to build those connections. And for that, you know, we need to be in person. The bumping in, and I think also we're just part of that knowledge creation where people, there's a real benefit to bumping into people that creates relationships, and that's hard to recreate in a Zoom. I mean, I remember us trying to create lounge areas in the virtual world, and it doesn't have the same effect. But I do believe that there's a way in which we can, and we are exploring that right now, ways in which we can use virtual learning to enhance what we do in person.
Who's your boss?
Well, I guess technically the provost and the president, would be my boss.
Do you see them regularly?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you have your regular touch points, and I think it's a very collegial group at University of Toronto. One of the things that's interesting is there was a bunch of new deans that were hired, and I think connecting with them, so those, they're not really my bosses, but certainly it does get a little lonely at the top.
Yeah.
if one can say that.
But they're your peers. So if you go to the dean of medicine or law or what dentistry, you would share things in common.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you're not competing with them too much. You know, law and medicine, it's different worlds. So you compete a bit, but it's more that we're working together.
Yeah. No, absolutely. There's definitely a collegial, especially during COVID, that you need to sort of exchange best practices because you're rewriting, you know, how do we educate people, right? What are different ways and you can learn from, keeping your eyes. But you know, for sure. I mean, the president and the provost are the people that, you know, we need to provide budgets for and make sure that we're contributing to the university, you know, and we, you know, need, but it is a very collaborative, you know, type of institution where they're, you know, seeking, you know, there's regular touch points.
Are you traveling now? Are you getting out there to meet alumni around the world, or is that still to come?
I just did my first visit to Vancouver, and I'm hoping to do more. I mean, that's the one thing that's great about, this period of my life is that I am able to, more flexible schedule and able to, get out. But, it's been more constraining, but hopefully going to be doing a little bit more.
What book are you reading right now, Susan?
I usually have a couple on the go.
Okay.
I've actually been reading the book Unprecedented, which is a new book by Steve Meyer and Andrew Willis.
Okay.
Part of the reason I'm reading it is because we're actually interviewing the people that wrote chapters. So there are different CEOs that have written chapters for the book about their experiences of living through COVID. I started reading it because I was interviewing, but then I got really interested in sort of learning, you know, and sort of thinking about that in my own context as a new leader, and what are the values and how are they, what was it that got them to, you know, think about their, so that's, I mean, that's one book that I'm reading and some really interesting chapters in that. And the nice thing for me is that I can read a chapter at a time and that is probably easier with my type of schedule right now, being a little bit sporadic. I am part of a book club, but nice. I can't say that I'm the best reader in the book club.
Okay. You enjoy getting together and talking about a book.
Yeah.
And if you've read it, you might make some comments. This is the CO Series. Thank you, Susan, for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, our producer, Yosef Sahoni, and scriptwriter, Stephanie Richet. Thank you for tuning into the CO Series. À la prochaine.